Passengers flying with Global Air Force are now boarding at Gate 1.
This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
You know, when it comes to Christmas time, I like to remember my childhood experiences of excitement and hope, to think that there was a Savior born in the world. And even in my early childhood days, I recognized the burden of sin and the misery and the emptiness in the world. But the Christmas story gave me a fresh new hope. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior. That excited me. So, my friend, on this blessed holiday season, I'd like you to hear another testimony of miracles of what God is doing. You know, when Jesus was born, that wasn't the end of the great story of his coming. It is still going on today, everywhere you look. And that is what I want you to experience on our program today. Today, we have Chris Ishak back for our program. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Jim. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to have you back. So, well, we want to travel to another country, or do we have some more happenings?
We've got plenty of other countries. Well, before we leave Colombia, let me just tell you what is my absolute favorite testimony from Colombia. This absolutely blew me away.
Great.
We could be here from now till tomorrow. It was such a powerful trip, just about Colombia. I mean, really, God poured out his anointing and his love and his power and his presence everywhere we went. But this one is just absolute. This blows my mind. There was a little boy who came up. He was 9 years old, who came up to me for prayer. And, you know, his mother, he was a little shy. So his mother kind of told me what had happened 2 years before. He had broken his arm. And the family was very, very poor and couldn't afford to go to a doctor. So the arm kind of healed itself. And when it set, he broke it about halfway between his elbow and his wrist. And he broke it in a way that, and when it set itself, his arm healed at an almost 30 degree angle.
A 30 degree angle?
Yeah, it was actually. I mean, I'm a little weak in the stomach. I'll just admit that. And actually, when I saw it, I was oh my goodness, it's actually quite a deformed arm.
Yeah,
it's like he's got two elbows, except one he can't move.
Oh my!
And not only can't he move that, but his right arm, his whole right arm is affected by it. In particular, his wrist. He has no lateral movement in his wrist. And while he can move his fingers, he can't quite move them enough to make a fist. But he can at least move them. You know, if an object is big enough, he can grab it. But still, he's 9 years old, and he's got the rest of his life to look to having a deformed arm like this. And so we prayed for him. And I don't know, Jim must have prayed 30 seconds. And, you know, we didn't pray long at all. And I put my arm right on where that break was, and I just kept commanding, let every crooked path be made straight. And I don't think I prayed anything else. I just prayed that over and over. Every crooked path be made straight. And I'm telling you, in an instant, all of a sudden, we just moved into place. It wasn't a gradual thing. It just I felt it under my hand move.
Oh me! And your hands were on elbow. Your hands were on it.
Right, and I'm telling you, this 9 year old he couldn't believe what happened. All of a sudden, he just said. And he's got this look of just bewilderment on his face, and he didn't know what happened. He's staring at his arm, and it's straight.
Oh
and
my!
Listen to this. Here's the big test. I told him, I said, "Listen, man. I'm like, move your wrist, because he couldn't move it. He had no lateral movement.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, he starts to move it. And he makes one complete revolution with his wrist and then loses it. I mean, he just starts weeping.
Oh,
I mean, think about it. He's 9 years old. He's just starting out his life, and he's anticipating the rest of his life having this deformity and not being able to move his fingers fully and his wrist at all. And he's got this ugly deformity. I mean, it really was. I'm not trying to be mean, or I'm just telling you what it was. And in an instant, God changed his future.
In a moment. In an instant.
In a moment. It was absolutely ridiculous. And praising this kid, he just started weeping. Oh my goodness. And anyone within a 20-foot radius was weeping, you know, after seeing this on his face.
Just,
it was absolutely precious.
Just like back in Jesus' time. Of course,
we have
the same ministry. The book of Acts says the first verse, it says the ministry which Jesus began to do. The ministry, Luke writes and says, the former account that I wrote, O Theophilus, ministry, and that was the Gospel of Luke, he said that was the ministry which Jesus began to do and teach. Well, that was only the beginning, and it's continuing right on now.
Come on, isn't it?
I love it, I love it. Go on there. What else have you got for us?
We did an event out in Utah with an amazing church family out there that I absolutely love. And then went to Seattle, where we had a healing school in Seattle. The Northwest isn't somewhere that we've gone an awful lot, especially in the last few years. But we had a great school. We saw quite a few significant healings. But we went from there. And let me move on. I mean, I could tell you stories from every place, but I want to get to Brazil.
Okay.
Because I left right from Seattle for Brazil. We went to the city called Curitiba.
In Brazil.
It's in the south of Brazil.
What's the name of that town again?
It's called Curitiba. It's in the state of Paraná. It's a little bit west of São Paulo. Most people know where São Paulo is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, this was such a wonderful trip. If you remember last time we spoke, that trip in particular, that trip 3 years ago, absolutely changed my life.
Ooh.
It happy trip that I'm doing what I'm doing. This is the one. I won't share my whole testimony again, Jim, but this is the one where I went on almost by accident, where I didn't believe in healing, and someone paid for me to go on this trip, and I went and just got my life turned upside down. So because of that, this is now the fourth youth power invasion since then, and I've gone on every single one. The first one, like I said, I went on as a team member and as a leader for my church. But since then, I've been going representing Global and serving Global, getting to pour into the youth who come. This is one of the highest priorities of my year.
Okay.
I don't plan my itinerary until I know what the dates are for this, just because it absolutely changed my life. And while I love Brazil and I love what's happening, and I go there several times a year for the last few years, getting ready to go again in December, while Brazil is amazing, the reason I go is for the youth who go.
Mm-hmm.
Because every year we're seeing more and more youth. We're talking 13 to 29 year old who come on this trip, and they see miracles, many of them for the first time. Mm-hmm. They get their first words of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
They see God moving through them, not through their parents, not through their pastor, not through some guy on TV, not even through, they see
right through their
hands.
Own hands. They are
through absolutely
without a lot of training.
We do train them, but not, they're, I mean, they're 14, 15, 19, 20 years old.
And that's the way to start life.
And we do train them. We spend a lot of time pouring into them. Mm. And it's because of what happens when they come back to the U.S. Like I said, Brazil is amazing. And there's see, Peter Wagner says that Brazil is the nation most on fire for the Holy Spirit and for the gospel.
You started to tell me a little bit about your testimony. You said 3.5 years ago this changed your life. What changed your life?
Well, that's what it was. You know, I had met Jesus a few years before then, but wasn't really walking with the Lord. I mean, no one can ever take away my salvation experience. I mean, even though I wasn't walking with the Lord, I know I was saved because I had the grace and the faith for it. And again, it was short lived, unfortunately. And I quickly backslid, but I still knew who Jesus was, even though I chose not to walk with him. And it wasn't until three years ago, July of 2006, that someone gave me a free trip to Brazil, and I didn't really, you know, like I said, I was barely saved, but I was saved, but barely saved, was not walking with Jesus.
You had no idea what you were getting into.
Absolutely not. I mean, to tell you the truth, I thought healing, I didn't know much about healing. I was pretty ignorant of the subject. But what I saw were some of the abuses of it. You know, you'd hear about such and such a preacher who fell, or such and such who's hoarding money for this or that, and, you know, doing it in the name of healing. And that's all I knew about it. So my opinion of it was very negative. And I thought healing was the biggest deception in the church.
You just didn't believe in it, and you thought it was a deception.
I thought it was the power of psychological suggestion was all healing was.
Okay, you didn't have faith for healing. In other words,
I barely had faith in the walk with Jesus. So, but no, okay. I did not have faith for healing at all. I thought, well, this is just for simple-minded people, who in third world countries, that someone who looks like they've got their stuff together comes to them and tells them they're healed, and oh my goodness, all of a sudden my mind is believing what they're saying, so it tells my body to ignore the pain. That's what I thought healing was, divine healing.
Okay,
I didn't believe in the power of God, that God still moved and God still spoke today and performed miracles and did all the stuff that he never said I intend to stop. You know, I had no experience with it.
Yeah, as Randy said, he was raised on a lot of unbelief.
Yeah. So I found myself in Brazil, and I brought work boots and jeans because I thought we were going to build homes for the poor, and next thing I know, they're telling us we've got elite healing meetings. And, I mean, to make a long story short, here's what it was. You know what? We saw amazing miracles. And no kidding, I really, they asked me to lead healing meetings.
They asked you to lead them?
Because I came as a leader from my church.
Oh, my.
So they assumed that I know what I'm doing.
You were a believer that didn't believe.
Right, absolutely. And but you know what? So we saw the most amazing miracles. I mean, I saw a person in the middle of an epileptic seizure get delivered on the floor of a church.
Oh, glory to God.
Never has had and I still keep in touch with her. I kept in touch with him for several years after, and he's never had another seizure. Saw a woman get up out of a wheelchair. Saw a woman who'd been electrocuted and pain affected her wrist. She had constant pain in her wrist, and she gets healed 100%. Saw blind eyes open, deaf ears hear.
Oh, my.
Saw a little seven-year-old boy. No one even prayed for him. But a Christian gave this seven-year-old boy a hug in the name of Jesus. And for 7 years, this boy had never spoken. He'd never heard, and he's never walked in his life. He's lame, deaf, and mute.
In nome de Jesus.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Someone gave him a hug. And all of a sudden, he's running around the church, hearing his name for the first time and saying the name of his father.
Oh, incredible. Absolutely incredible.
It is, absolutely. And I'm not trying to discount or distract from any of the miracles, but I'll tell you what did it, what changed my life. It wasn't a miracle. It wasn't seeing a healing. It was experiencing for the first time in my life. I mean, I'm super young. I'm 21 years old.
Oh, my.
22, excuse me. I'm 22 years old, and I'm experiencing for the first time in my life the love of God.
The love of God. Yes.
Someone, you know what? Someone came by, and they were praying for us, and they came by, and they laid their hands on me, and they said, baptism of love.
Oh, my. You got it.
Batismo de amor in Portuguese. Batismo de amor.
And you got it.
And next thing I know, I can take you back to that hotel. I could show you the spot on the floor where I laid for hours.
Oh, glory to God.
And the love of God just came washing over me.
That's beautiful.
And it was the first time in my life I ever experienced anything like that.
Oh,
where I experienced
beautiful.
The presence of a father who absolutely loved me in spite of all my problems. Everyone's got their crap. I'm sorry, can I say that?
Yeah.
Got their crap, and I had mine. And in spite of all that, because in my mind, I had a running list of all the things that kept me from God. And in spite of my list, Father God showed up, and he said, son, I love you, and absolutely wrecked me. I could show you where the puddle lay from hours of just weeping before his presence.
I thoroughly understand. I have places, too. I remember the angle I was at.
Yeah.
And I just remember what I was thinking and how I stopped. And it's just wonderful what you're saying. So many people need to know the love of God like that.
Yeah.
Not a lot of logic, not a lot of preaching, not a lot of doctrine, but just God's pure love.
And you know what? We just saw that happen in Australia. I was in this city. This is just a couple weeks ago. This is absolutely remarkable because, you know, people ask me, what kind of ministry you have? I have a ministry of love. I have a ministry of love. I you know, call it whatever you want. I have a ministry of love. I just want to love people.
Oh.
And, you know, so I'm in this city called Byron Bay, Australia. And it's a very, it's a well-known city in Australia. It's one of the most beautiful places
occult
in all
city.
Of Australia. I'm sorry?
Is that the occult city?
It is, yeah. Actually, it is. There's quite a, there's a huge New Age population.
Okay.
I mean, absolutely huge. The whole city, I mean, everywhere you look, there's readers. There's, you know, it's part of the culture of that city.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this group called New Earth Tribe, and they're just off, and they love the people that are around them, and they go out just without any pretension. They just go and they show them who the real Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
And they're seeing amazing things happen on the streets, especially, and they've got their church, but they have a passion for the streets, and they go out there to the homeless and to the you know, the most addicted on drugs, and they just love them, and they show them the power of God, and God heals their bodies right in the middle of the street. And they realize who the real Jesus is.
And
so
this,
we went, and you know what? And I preached on exactly what we were just talking about love. That, like, you can have all the gifts in the world. I mean, Paul said it best in 1 Corinthians 13. But you can have all the gifts of tongues. You can prophesy this or that. But if you don't have love, what is it?
That's the key.
So I'm talking about that, I shared with them what I shared with you about my testimony, about where I came from and how it was love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I could have witnessed miracles, but I could have witnessed even more miracles, but I don't know that it would have changed me nearly an ounce of what love did.
Mm-hmm.
So I shared this with him, and right, you know, it was funny because right before I went up to preach, someone came up to me from the church and said, "Chris, I went up to preach at 9 p.m. and this is after about an hour of worship, and you know they did their church stuff, and I went up to preach. It was a Saturday night at about 9, and right on my way up, they grab me and they go, "Chris, we forgot to reserve the building." You know, so we got in because we have a key, but we didn't reserve the building. So they go, "The alarm is going to go off at 10 o'clock if we're still in here."
Oh.
Now, I don't do much in an hour. I don't, you know.
Yeah, you're just getting started.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of kidding, but not really. I preach a long time. Actually, I don't. I preach. But in my sense, I guess, because we just preach. All our preaching is wasting time. We're killing time until the anointing of God shows up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my philosophy on it. And you know what? If it takes 20 minutes, 20 minutes. But if it takes 2 hours, 2 hours. I'm going to preach until God shows up.
That's it.
And I'm killing time until the real deal comes.
That's the truth. My, do I agree with that.
So here we are. I'm preaching on love. And I've got just under an hour to do all this. And I never want to just preach and walk away. I think that's absolutely pointless. Well, if that's all we were doing, we should just all make CDs and mail CDs places. I don't want it to just to be about a message.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Paul said, "I fully preach the gospel with signs and wonders. It's not a matter of talk, but of power." So I want it to be coupled with an experience of what we're going after. So whether it's healing, whether it's miracles, whether it's the prophetic, whatever it is, whether it's the face of God, or in this case, what I was going after that night, where I felt like God, the direction God gave us, was to go after baptisms of love, that was going to follow the preaching. So I preached as quickly as I ever have, and with about 20 minutes left, I started to pray for them. And I wasn't going around laying hands on every person, just there's room sometimes for just the corporate response. And I just started to pray for the baptism of love to come on them. And people started to go into experiences as the love of the Father came on them. Some of them, for the first time in their life, they felt the presence of God come on them with love. And they just knew. I mean, you feel it in the pit of your stomach. I mean, Charles Finney, or in the pit of your heart, rather, just in the deepest part of your heart. I think it was Charles Finney, great evangelist in this country in the 1850s, who said, I felt my heart strangely warmed within me, and I perceived if these waves of liquid love would continue to pass over me, that I would surely die. And I mean, that's what my first experience was like. Was I felt like this love was too much for me to handle, and my body was about to go into shock. And so this is being released all over the room, and here we are. It's 9:57, and the alarm's going to go off at 10. So we start dragging people outside,
literally just
picking them up and dragging them outside. And we got that door closed at 9:59 and 59 seconds, locked it shut. But here we are, standing outside the church building between the church and the street, and people are still getting touched by God. I mean, God doesn't. He doesn't always relegate himself to our agenda or our timetable.
He doesn't watch our clock.
And we have to be out of there by 10, but he was just getting started.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a bunch of people just outside of the church in between the building, which was a school building, and the street. And they're just getting touched by God. So, I mean, many of us leave, but these guys just stay. And they stay for two and a half hours.
Oh, my.
Until the bars let out. So the bars up the street where people have been partying all night, this is a Saturday night, mm-hmm. and the bars start to empty, and people come, and they walk by, and they see these people laying on the floor, either in the grass or in the parking lot, and they're weeping. They're just weeping, or they're having these trances and these experiences where they're seeing God face to face. And all these partiers, they were asking one of two questions. I heard all this the next day. They were asking one of two questions. They were either asking, out of genuine concern, are you guys okay? What's wrong? They were asking, what drug are you on, and can you hook me up? Can you get me some?
Oh, man.
And these Christians are laying on the ground, and they would get up, but they wouldn't answer their questions. They wouldn't respond to them. They would just begin to prophesy and begin to tell them about their lives, and they would give them words of knowledge about how they grew up or the pain they had or different facts about their life or the struggles they were having, and they would say, but you're about to meet Jesus. And these people would just begin to weep, and they would accept Jesus, and right away the Father's love would come on them, and they would join their new friends on the floor, having an experience of the baptism of God's love.
Glory to God.
It absolutely blew my mind.
Glory to God.
Mm. Yeah. I'm telling you, miracles, amazing. Mm. Power of God, we can't live without it. We shouldn't live without it.
I can't live without it.
Absolutely. But it's the love of God every time. It's the love of God. Well, I was going to say, like 1 John 4 says, I forget if it's 10 or 17. I always mix them up. But he says, love has been perfected in us in this way that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And as he is, so are we in this world.
Yeah, that's right.
Because of love that we get to heal the sick. We get to cast out devils and prophesy over people. And it's because of love that as he is, so are we in this world.
As he is, as Jesus is in heaven, so are we in this world. Well, thank you, Chris.
I can't tell you, Jim, how much I appreciate you and just what you're doing for me. Thank you so much. I mean it.
You know, Jesus is still in the healing business today. What he did way back then, he can do for you today. Anyone in the sound of my voice can experience the healing power of God and the love of God today, just where you're at. As the Bible says, as he is in heaven, so are we in this world. So, until we meet again, go with God. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
You can contact today's guest by logging on to www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
All passengers boarding for Global Air Force are now boarding at Gate 1.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars by. Yet in thy dark streets shine the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. Oh, morning stars together proclaim thy holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and meanless sleep, the sun.